Hey y'all, we're back with the second episode of Easy by Just Brianna, the personal finance and motivational podcast by Just Brianna. So I'm super excited about this episode, you guys. We're going to be kicking off the Y&A series. So if you follow me on Instagram or Twitter, I've been talking about this for a little while now. The Y&A series, the Younger Ambitious series, I'm going to be giving you 6 episodes featuring some talented, younger, ambitious people in Philadelphia. They're going to be my co-hosts. We're going to talk about the things they're pursuing, why they're pursuing it, how they're pursuing it, and how they're handling their money. So if it's a side hustle, a business, anything of that nature, they're giving us all the scoop. And if you have anything in that nature, this is something you want to listen to. So we're starting with episode 1. Episode 1 is featuring the very talented photographer Johnny Rocket. I'm super excited to have him on board. Let's see what he's talking about. All right, guys. So we're sitting here with Johnny Rocket, the very, very talented and well-known Philadelphia photographer.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about not why you're young and ambitious, but just give some inspiration to my listeners. So
before we get into that, I am based in Philly, but I'm from Chester.
Really?
Yeah.
So I didn't even know that. Okay. So the very talented and well-known photographer that's from Chester, Johnny Rocket. I want to start that. So we're going to get right into it. So tell me some of the things that you got going on right now. We know you're a photographer. We see some of your work online. You can introduce yourself too and tell us your Instagram and things of that nature.
What's up, listeners? As she mentioned, my name is Johnny Rocket. Instagram, JohnnyRocket. I spell my name funny. But, and no, that's not really my real name. What was the question?
Tell us a little bit about some things you got going on.
All right. So what do I have going on? So right now I'm in the process of like trying to build a nice team of people that I can collaborate with. Right now I'm working with a young lady named Sienna. She does makeup.
Okay.
So I've done a few shoots with her, pretty much trying to like collaborate our talents together.
Okay.
To create projects in hopes that we can create like marketing material for all of us.
Okay.
So for young ladies who want to model, boom, here's your chance to get photos taken. Boom, here's a chance for her to show out her different, her range of makeup skills.
Okay.
And whatnot. So she can get creative, or she can just do like beauty, or, you know, just me and her collaborate on ideas and we go back and forth to pretty much create this material for all of us.
Okay. Tell me some of your motivation in doing the things that you're doing right now.
So, motivation. As far as motivation, like, I'm motivated by other talented people. Like, I follow a few people who do photography. And I'm just, like, always, like, shocked at the different things you can do.
Okay. Now, is this something that you just woke up and was like, I'm going to do photography? Or, like, you always had an interest in it? Or
no.
Okay.
So, how I came about photography was totally an accident. So,
just playing around with the camera.
Not even playing. I didn't have a camera of my own at all. So, like, how it started was my man's was having a baby shower, right? And my other friend, I gifted, had a camera that he just wasn't using.
Okay.
Or whatever. And we came up with the idea to say pretty much, yo, come through the baby shower and let's just get the camera together, just playing around or whatever, because he never knew how to like use it to its advantage. So I picked it up, he brought it through, I picked it up, I just put everything together, started messing with it, playing with the buttons, and I'm like, oh shit, I like doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So I have decent like people skills, so when it comes to interacting in groups or events and stuff, it was real easy for me to just pull someone aside and say, hey, could you pose like this, or let me take a picture of you real quick for the event or whatever. And that came natural. So at the end of the day, I was like, wait a minute, I like this.
Okay.
And I have a background in technology, so I like, when it comes to the process on the back end, it was seamless. So I was able to deliver. Matched. Yeah. So I was able to like get the pictures, upload them, edit them, or whatever, tweak them if need be, and then send them to where they belong, and people received them well. So I started doing digital photography that way. And that's pretty much how I started. Eventually, I got my own camera and then just kept at it. And then
so you started to invest into it.
Correct.
So tell me some of the steps that you did to start to invest in your photography.
I have a 9-to-5, so...
And people, nothing is wrong with a 9-to-5. I know in our generation, it seems like it's so frowned upon. Like, oh, you have a 9-to-5, you should be a business owner. But it's literally nothing wrong with it, especially if you're using it to fund your side hobby or if you're using it to get where you need to go. So being that you have a 9-to-5, I'm so happy you're introducing
my this. My 9-to-5 prepped me for these moments.
Right.
And I say that because in my 9-to-5, I deal with people often.
Okay.
I deal with a variety of people and different, like, attitudes or just like people skills is very necessary in my line of work. So I learned how to handle and maneuver through conversations.
Okay.
So I can have mature conversations with people. I can talk business and whatnot. And it taught me a lot. It's even money management, because you pay bills as you get older, you know, as you become an adult, you invest in certain things. You have cars, you have cribs, you pay rent, all that other good stuff, buy groceries. So you gotta pretty much know how to budget.
Right.
So.
And if you don't, you can come see me.
Right. So, all in all, that's what got me into photography. And with my 9-to-5, pay my bills, and all the spare change I have, I pretty much invest into photography. Since I got into it, I just keep investing into photography. I stopped doing a lot of stuff that caused me to spend money frivolously and dumb stuff, like just buying nonsense. And I was like, instead of spending $200 on sneakers, why don't I spend $200 on either knowledge or some type of equipment,
right,
to get me to where I need to be?
Stuff you can get with your photography.
Exactly. So it's like, if I buy this, I can learn how to use that. Maybe I can get better in this, in these areas, and then boom.
So you would say a lot of it, as far as investing into photography, it definitely was with your mentality. You had to change
how
you thought and your mindset and how you was already doing your budgeting. It was like a little shift and alter. So when you had that spare change and that savings, you weren't just spending on anything. You were spending on photography.
Yeah.
So it's definitely important to have the mindset and the discipline too.
Right. Because it took a while definitely to get disciplined enough, because I'm like, I got to maintain my lifestyle.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I want to look fly.
Right, exactly. I want to look fly. I want to smell nice. I want to still keep up with my routine. But I also want to put myself in a better position with this hobby. Because to me, photography is still a hobby.
Yeah.
I just invest a lot of time and energy into it. So like once I leave work, I'm looking at my calendar. I'm checking my emails to see if people are booking or people reach out, because I have like a small group of people that reach out consistently.
Okay.
So me and them are always working, and then I'm trying to create these little projects where I'm staying busy and sharpening my skills.
Okay.
And I'm looking at new things to invest in to get better. Like right now I have a studio, but I want to move out of that one to go to a better location to be more marketable, because I don't market.
Okay.
At all.
You just like,
I post
my
pictures.
Work is it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, as far as me, my pictures speaks for me.
Right.
So if you like my pictures, contact me and blase blase. And I'll deliver the best quality that I can for whatever you need me to do.
Okay. And you would say you're 20 something, right? We don't want to put the age out there, but
I'm 27.
27. Still young. Tell me how you deal with being young and dealing with these hobbies and learning how to budget. Tell me how you do, as far as like how you feel and your mentality. I know you said that you changed it and you still want to be fly, but what a lot of people don't know is that when you make these changes, or you're going from,
you gotta make sacrifices.
Definitely.
That's pretty much what the key is. The key to keeping everything balanced is, people used to tell me this all the time, and I'm now seeing what it means, setting goals, vision boards, stuff like that. Like, to me, my one of my goals is to always get better at photography.
Okay.
Like, that's what keeps me going, is to always get better. Because every time I look at my picture, at my pictures, I always think I can do better.
Okay.
So every time I take a picture, I try to outdo my last. And then when I see other people's work, I get motivated, because it's like, wow, people are being real, real creative. Like, at first, I was just doing, like, when I first started, I was doing event photography. And I feel like I cracked that, as far as, like, I know what I'm doing when I do it.
Right.
So now I'm trying to get more into the beauty, portrait, in studio, outside type, to be more creative with my skills.
Okay.
Because you get put in certain situations where you have to use different equipment. You have to be considerate of light and things of that nature. So now I have to learn more.
So are you, like, reaching out to other photographers, or, like, a mentor you have involved as far as learning more?
So as far as learning more, I've learned majority of everything from the ground up, trial and error. I do, I reached out to Sick at Heart. He was having photography classes.
Mm.
So I invested in that, and I learned a lot from that. And that was one thing I did, because I seen his work, and I was like, wow, this guy takes everything to the next level. Like, he's dope at what he does. But that was the first time I actually went and paid for knowledge, other than just going out and trying everything on my own.
Okay.
But that was something I knew I needed to spend money on.
And it was a good better. Investment.
It was a solid investment. Sometimes you look at things and don't know the value of it until after, but you got to be able to take those chances.
Yeah.
With business, period. You got to know what's right, what's wrong, but you also have to take a leap of faith. But to answer your question from before, how do I maintain and keep everything balanced? One is discipline, definitely discipline, setting goals. And to me, to set a goal is to set a destination.
Okay. As a destination.
Meaning that when you have a clear set goal versus my broader goal is I want to get better. A clear destination, like if I want to get from here to there, I have to make this left, make this right.
Right.
So how am I going to get better? Boom. Education. How can I learn more? How can I be better? So I have to know what to do in certain situations when it comes to photography.
So you're taking that big goal and then you're breaking it down into steps pieces. To how you get there.
Correct.
And that's how you keep yourself focused and disciplined at a young age.
Yeah.
So.
Because I know what I want at the end of the day.
Okay.
And that's how I keep it. Because I know I want to live a certain lifestyle while also creating dope content in the process. Because I want my pictures to, I want to be a legend at what I do. Because I take photography very, very serious.
Okay. And I feel like you're halfway there. I mean, it's always room for growth. We always feel right. Like we can grow. But the stamp and the mark that you have in our city, it plays a big part. So I definitely think that you should take that into consideration.
I appreciate that.
From something that you just tried out to where you at now, you definitely grew.
I'm like 3 years, three, four, going into 4 years in now.
3 years in?
Yeah.
Four? That's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
I'm not thinking what else I want to ask you.
I'm here. I'll answer anything.
Let's pause. So, Johnny, earlier you was telling... It didn't start yet.
It started.
So, Johnny, earlier you was telling me about some of the trial and errors you came across and how you learned from them. Can you tell me how you had these errors and you got the solutions as far as, like, money for your funding, your hobbies, and your photography?
So, trial and errors as far as like building the what I have now, like, of course, you know, photography is expensive.
Yes.
All the equipment is crazy. But the crazy part about it is, this is how I knew photography was meant for me. Because in my journey to find like my first camera, cameras go from like $500-$600 up.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher, the better. So I just so happened to be at the right place at the right time. And I was with a friend, and someone had called him and said, yo, sell this camera for me.
Wow.
And I overheard it. So, and it was a decent camera. I actually still use that camera to this day. And it was my first camera. So I'm like, huh? Come again? He like, yeah, it's his camera. I'm like, so send me pictures or whatever. So I got the pictures, and I'm like, listen, I got 250 for you right now.
And you
right
take it.
Now. And they're like, you know what? Hold on, let me see.
And what kind of camera was it? If
you're Nikon D3300.
And how much they usually run for?
At the time, it was like between 5-6. Around that time. Probably like 5. Closer to 5 at the time.
Okay.
So, boom. I said, I got 250 for you right now. And I got it.
Awesome.
And it was the perfect camera for me at the time. So now, at this point, I needed to take pictures. Because I'm like, I can't just tell people I'm a photographer. Me, I wouldn't take myself serious if I just told people, I'm a photographer, and never took a real picture a day in my life.
Right.
Don't know how to set the camera or nothing.
Right.
So what I did was, I reached out to people in Chester who were doing events. Because at the time, that's what I wanted to chase after. I liked the thrill of taking pictures at events. So I reached out to the Missing Plug and said, listen, I'm willing to work for free. And I want to work with you in any capacity that I can while also taking pictures to get myself better. So that was one way I invested. I had to take that no money.
Okay.
To like get to myself. Practicing. Yeah, just to keep myself sharp. So I invested in whatever I had before photography.
Okay.
And put myself in that position while also, you know, still working. Staying active and getting my skills sharp. So with the opportunity they gave me, they said, all right, cool, we'll let you work with us and, you know, just help us with whatever. So I'm like, cool, perfect. So like, I didn't see the money. Like, to me, the money wasn't, as far as making money, I knew that what I wanted was way above making money
right
then and there. So I had to not make money for a long time before I started to make money.
Right.
So that was, I wouldn't call it a trial, but it was a good way to start for me to get myself on the right path. Because with that opportunity came many, many, many other opportunities that paid.
Right.
Because I met people.
Right.
A lot of people see me in action, and then they seen my work evolve. So people started hearing about it. And then I eventually, you know, broadened my horizons, traveled out, and started, you know, to earn. But as I kept doing more things, I realized that I needed more equipment.
Yeah.
So now I had to find resources to, like, fund for my equipment. So, like, one thing I started was a t-shirt line.
Okay.
And at the time, I called it Dream Big. So to fund, I had my 9-to-5 still. So that paid all my bills and whatnot. And I still had money left over. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me take this leftover money. And instead of paying so-and-so this amount for clothes, let me invest in my own.
Right.
And then, you know, just sell them out. Because I'd rather make slow money than no money.
Yeah.
Off of nothing. So I invested in a few t-shirts. People purchased them. And I used that money instead of profit. And keeping it in the pocket, I just kept saving it and reinvesting it into more shirts.
Okay.
And then kept selling and kept selling. And then when I made enough, I would just put that money into equipment.
Okay.
So I started the t-shirt line. And then,
is the t-shirt line still going on?
Since then, I haven't, like, really... Like, I have shirts left over from when I did do it, but I don't really reinvest into it anymore as much as I used to. I'm thinking of redoing the brand name into something different, but not doing t-shirts.
Okay. I was about to ask, is it like you don't have the interest in it no more, or the time, or it was like just something that you needed to do at the time for funding for photography?
At the time, I was making a decent name for myself where I was getting like gigs all the time consistently. So I just stopped managing the t-shirt thing.
Okay.
And then eventually let it fizzle out. I even had like a web store where I just created on my own and just like, cause I can make my own, like I made my own sites and stuff. I had my own resource. Like a lot of the stuff I do a lot of it off the muscle, off the knowledge I have. And then I just carry it how I carry it.
Okay. So we're going to wrap it up soon, but I want you to leave something for my listeners. So give them something, just a wrap it up about you or something that you need them, to know, or you feel like they should know. Like, okay, so somebody listening right now wants to start a hobby or a side hustle or a business. What's something you want them to know from you?
So if you're starting anything, you'll know when it's for you because it feels right. And if it feels right, keep going. No matter what roadblocks you run into, eventually you're going to get to where you want to be. You've seen every rapper, you see every artist, you see every person struggle.
Right.
And because they struggle, what they got from after struggling became such greater,
right,
much greater than the losses they've taken.
It's like I didn't take all them losses for nothing.
Right. So the more you lose and the more you struggle in whatever you're doing, the more you hustle, eventually you'll gain that muscle and that traction to do exactly what you wanted to do this whole time.
Awesome. And do you have anything for me? I forgot about that part.
You want to wrap up? See, I could ask you a bunch of questions. Or I could ask you a series of questions, but that would make the episode longer. So I don't know which one you want to do.
It's going to kind of be chopped and screwed anyway, so I guess I can just take the parts that we need. But I was thinking that too, because like we already 10 minutes in the episode. I don't want it to be longer than 25.
Right.
So that's why I was thinking that too. But we can still.
All right, so what inspired you to create everything that you created?
So me growing up, at my school, I'm not from Chester, but I went to school in Chester. And that wasn't, I want to say finance in itself or money management skills. It wasn't something they really focused on. So we didn't know too much about it in my school. Or I'm going to say me. I didn't know too much about it. So once I turned 18 and went to the real world, I tore my credit up. Not only did I tear my credit up, I tore my pockets up. So I had a lot of trials and then I was stuck. So I started to, as I got older, I wanted to do these things like get a car or travel with friends and things of that nature. But I couldn't do it because I never, one, was taught, two, had the interest, three, the money or the experience or anything of that nature. And I already tore, I already made the mistakes. So as I got older, I already then basically took the loss, right? So I actually got lucky and got a job at TD Bank. And
oh, that's what I wanted to ask you too. Go ahead.
And I started there when I was 19. I'm gonna say lucky because I knew somebody who got me in there. And I started as a part-time teller one, and I kind of worked myself up, and I started to learn more about the business of retail banking, mortgages, and interest and things of that nature. And it actually caught my eye. So I always was good at math, but I never liked math. Like
I'm good at math.
I'm good at it, but I'm like blah. And writing, because I'm a blogger too, writing was never really my strong subject either. Like I was this smart kid, but it was just like I never wanted to do anything with it. So as I started to look more into it, I went to school. And I went to school for accounting, and I'm like, okay, this isn't hard at all. It's not bad at all. And as I'm working in the bank, I'm starting to meet these more and more people who don't know anything about their money. Like they don't know nothing, and it's kind of like I look at young people and see me like the young 16, 17 year olds who don't know if they got a checking or a savings account or don't know how.
Damn.
Or don't even know like if they're getting credit card pre-qualifications in the mail, they're thinking they're all the way qualified. So they don't even know the difference of certain things. And I'm looking at these people and I'm just like, I want to change it because I don't want you to get stuck at 19. Like I couldn't go to college because I couldn't afford it. And my credit was messed up and my mom's credit was messed up. It was like a long chain. So, well, I could go to college, but I couldn't go away.
So let me tell you a little bit more about me. So I went to a 2-year school for computers.
Okay.
And I finished, got my associates and whatnot. And I got a job, like, almost right after through connections that I've made as a younger person, like, in my teens, my late teens. And I got a job in my field. And in that time, I fucked my credit up because I never had anybody teach me about loans, financing, anything of that nature. So when it came to money, it was like, I get this money, and I'm a ball like I'm Kobe, and I'm going to get fly as shit. I had a bank account. That was definitely, I knew the difference between checking and savings. And I knew when I got my money, put half up and play with the other.
Right.
I never knew about investing. I never knew about anything money related except for, like, in my household, I come from poverty. So it was just me and my grandma. And then eventually my grandma met a guy. And then that's our household. So I never got money advice. I just knew, save your money. Save your money. Mm-hmm. Whatever you make, save your money. So I'm like, saving to do what with it?
Right.
Which was the clueless part in my not in my generation, but in my household. Because it's like, what am I supposed to do with the money I save? Because, you know, everybody said, you can't take it with you when you die.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with the money? And that question always lingered in my head as a child. So as I'm going to work years later, I'm like, damn, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? What am I going to do? Because before I did photography, in the back of my head, I'm like, what is a business that I feel like I can prosper in? That was always one of my dreams, is to own a business of my own.
Okay.
And be self-sufficient and create, like, a crazy business. Like, be like a Diddy in a sense or whatever. Some type of mogul. Like, that was always one of, like, my passions, is to be a mogul. So at this age now, I got fucked up credit. I had a credit card young, and I owe some money on that bitch. So now I'm like, damn, I gotta fix my credit, pay this credit card off, pay these loans off, and then find a way to make all my loans and shit disappear.
On top of your everyday, day-to-day.
On top of my day-to-day life. So I'm like, you know what? Instead of, you know how people, when they come to finance, people worry.
Yeah.
Like, how I'm going to do this? Like, I make decent at my job. Like, I make a decent living as far as, like, my job. But I'm like, this can't be the ceiling.
Right.
I need something else to not only generate an income, but also call my own.
Right.
So, coincidentally, I came across a camera. Told you how I came across the camera. So now I'm like, my heart beats. This is mine. Mm-hmm. This is something I can take control of. This is something I can make my own. This is something I can generate and create and mold into something awesome.
Right.
Something great. I can become great at this. And that motivates me. That keeps my heart going. So like sometimes I have dreams about photography.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have dreams of like certain things. And that keeps me more like real life dreams. And my dreams are very like abstract. In a sense where it could be you and me in a dream, right? But it could be two moons falling from the sky on pause.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, like, damn, I got to create that. Damn, I got to, like, incorporate that somewhere. So now I'm just trying to focus on the talent and also keep financially stable.
Okay.
In the midst of all this. But I don't worry about nothing. I put everything in the hands of God.
Right.
Because I know, regardless of how I'm living, God got me. I just got to stay true to what I believe.
You
got to
stay at it.
So that's how I've been, like, moving. So right now, my next decision is, damn, now that this is a business, now that I'm actually, like, making some money, I want to get a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to your first podcast, and you mentioned briefly a little bit of, like, how you use a debit card and get charged for using it more mm-hmm. times and stuff like that. So what would you suggest? Because I want to open a bank account, but I don't want to create a LLC just yet.
So, I would definitely do your research.
Okay.
Look into all the banks that's, like, your surrounding areas and that's close to you. Think about how often you need to get to it, how often you need to manage that account, because all that plays a role. So, like, say if you live in Tennessee and you have a Tennessee-based bank, but you have a business and eventually you plan on relocating. So now you have to relocate and your bank is in Tennessee. That wasn't the best choice at the time.
Right.
So you also want to keep all your goals and aspects in mind. You want to do the research. You want to keep your age in mind too, because a lot of banks play with your age. Like, they, if you, like, college students and things of that nature, they consider that 24 and under. Mm-hmm. They give you a lot of leeway. So when you do the research, you'll find these things. It's literally not being knowledgeable about what you're opening. When you take the time to read or consult or inquire about what you're doing before you do it, you save a whole lot of time and money. So,
yeah, because I do a lot of dumb shit. Whereas, like, I'm very, when I want something, I just go and get it.
Right.
And I don't really, like, do too much research. I just, like, I want this by any means necessary.
Right.
And then I bump my head on the aftermath.
Mm-hmm. And, like, if I would have knew that up front,
right,
it wouldn't happen.
Right.
So, like, for instance, I'm going to use one of the times that I had a Franklin Mint account, and I didn't know that they had a limit on the debit card. Your debit card use. So after 6 times, they charge you $2. And as I got frustrated about it and I'm cursing them out over the customer service, they're like, ma'am, it's in your packet. And I'm like, that's my fault because I didn't read it. I didn't do the research. Right. And I know there's other bank accounts out there that I can swipe my debit card all day and not get charged a cent. So that, or other credit unions, because some people have their preference.
I know with credit unions, the benefit to it is you get your money on Thursday if you get paid on Friday.
Some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them. And then there's the benefit that the credit unions are smaller. Mm-hmm. So they don't nickel and dime you off of everything. They're not really looked at as like a business. Like a bank, they look at it as a business. So if you overdraft that $35, that $36, they're not looking to sympathize with you or to give it back. They want that interest. They want to make their profit versus a credit union because they're ran off a tax dollar. Mm-hmm. They're not nickel and diamond off of your loss. They're literally willing to work with you. And it's also more easy to do like the loans and mortgages and things of that nature during credit unions, again, because they're not really looking at like a business. They're looking to work with you. Like, right. Credit unions are like your family, basically, versus banks. And I don't have nothing against banks because I have a bank and I have a credit union, but banks are a business, so they're not looking for your best interest. They're looking for their money.
Their own best interest. Right. How to profit. And that's the crazy thing about America. Like, you can do all this and all that, but if you run a business, you have to think business minded.
Yep.
Like me, I put a lot of my heart in my business. So sometimes, like, I want to please the people versus get money.
Right.
And that's how I understand. I have to make money at the end of the day. But I'm like, if I don't feel it, I don't want to charge anybody for anything. Especially like when I first started doing photography, I'm like, nah, I don't like the way this looked out. Here, free.
Right.
Like one time I fucked up real bad. And this was like one of my worst fuck-ups. And it wasn't more so the quality of the work. It was more so like I have to do better with the process of management. And this was the issue I had. Like someone had booked me for a wedding through a friend of mine. And they were calling and asking questions.
Okay.
Versus leaving a paper trail. Okay. So for example, like sometimes I forget when I'm supposed to be at certain places because I'm doing my own management. So, if I look at a text and say, okay, so-and-so needed so-and-so on June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's in text, I can always refer back to it and see, okay, June 30th from 5 to 9.
Okay.
But if you call me and say, yo, I need you June 30th from 5 to 9, that can easily escape me with trying to keep up with everything if I don't write it down initially.
Right.
So, long story short, I had double booked, went to an event when I was supposed to be at an event.
Okay.
And in the middle of me, like, trying to, like, correct the issue, I end up coming to the event, to the wedding late. It was at the reception part. And I took pictures. Like, as soon as I got in that joint, I'm sweating and shit. It was a hot day in the summer last summer. This happened last summer. And I go in. And I'm like, boom, let me just get right to it. Leave a good impression as far as, like, my work ethic after the bullshit. So I just got in the building, start mingling with the people, start taking pictures and shit. And they already had paid me a deposit or whatever. And on the back end, they were supposed to pay me the remaining. But because I fucked up, I'm like, look, I'm going to take all these pictures, but you keep the back end.
Okay. Okay.
Because the lady was going to give me the money. I'm like, no. Because I fucked up, here, this would be my way of trying to mend the issue. And it was a cool, like, the wedding was the couple to me make me feel like, damn, when I get married, I want to be like them.
Like that.
Because they were so in love with each other. Like, and this is off topic, but this is how they made me feel like, damn, this is what love looks like. Like, mm-hmm. if you ever see it, this is what love looked like. Like, when they had their dance by themselves, they all whispering in each other's ear. They talking. They just, like, together.
All emotional.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, shit, this is love for real. So throughout the wedding, they made me feel like, oh, damn, this is what love is. But then, like, the mom, she was cussing me the fuck out when I walked in the door. She's like, you were supposed to fit in here.
Yeah, because you know they pay for everything.
Yeah, so I'm like, and sorry, like, uh-uh. lady. My fault. This is my fault. I'm not one of the people that, like, try to put the blame on others. If it's my fault, it's my fault. Right. So I'm going to say, it, this is on me.
Right.
You feel me? I won't sugarcoat it. I'm going to be like me, I'm one of the people, if I have a problem, I'm going straight to it.
Okay.
I'm not going to... You know what? Let me wait till tomorrow to deal with it. Let me push this back.
So you don't procrastinate?
Nah. Well, I procrastinate. But when it comes to, like, real things, I embrace it head on.
Okay.
So, like, if, for example, if you have an argument with your girl and she say we need to talk, I'm like, what's up?
All right. Y'all hear the knowledge? Y'all listening? Y'all taking the notes? Because I think he about to start dropping some knowledge and some gems. Go ahead.
So I'm like, if I have an issue with a significant other or anyone, I feel like a conversation is needed. I would want to have that, like, right then and there. And we don't have to be in person. We can be over the phone. I'm not going to text you, though.
Right.
Because texting ain't going to work out.
And it's too much misinterpretation.
Exactly. You don't know how I feel when I'm texting. And plus me, I say the worst shit when I'm texting.
Me?
I come off so heartless and like, what they call us, girls call us, nonchalant.
Yeah.
I come off so like, all right, cool, boom. What you want me to do? So if you read any of my texts, it's just going to look like, oh, he don't give a fuck. Fuck mm-hmm. him. And go off.
Mm-hmm.
When it's the opposite. Like, I care, but we need to talk face to face or over the phone to clear it out. So that's just me. I'm going straight into it. So when I walked in, I met the couple and I said, look, I fucked up, but let me make it up.
Right. I think that kind of like separates too, like when somebody's passionate about what they do and the service they give versus just doing it for a dollar.
Right.
Or just trying to get a hustle or doing it because you need money. Like, it's yeah. not something that I'm passionate about, but I need the extra coin.
If you run a business, I would suggest being passionate about it, and it has to, like, you have to feel it. Because if you don't feel it, you're not going to care how other people view. And that's what kills a lot of businesses now.
And it's going to be transparent. If you don't yeah. feel it, your clientele is going to know you don't feel it as well. Something you're not consistent in, or if it's like you giving me something and it's like half-assed, it's like right. I can tell that you're not taking it serious. So right. why would I take it serious?
Like the conversation we had when we first met.
Right.
When you were like, you know what? When it came to working, you were straight to it. You were patient with me. I was patient with you. I'm going to recommend you to everybody.
Right.
Because of the customer service that you received, you was like, listen, you is my mans, and I'm going to tell everybody about you, and I'm going to use you whenever I can. And I'm like, I appreciate that. And that, right. I think, is what I carry into with my clients. Like, it's funny because I've met so many people, and I've created relationships with people that's like, I never thought this would be.
That'll happen.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly. But that's one thing that you have to consider when business. Like, it's not about the dollar. It's about the work ethic, the work that you do, and how you work. Because a lot of people, you know, you can easily get put in that side.
Right.
When it comes to being a photographer. But when it comes to being a photographer, like, I'm sure you heard plenty of stories of other photographers,
mm-hmm.
other videographers, and things of that nature. I never want to be casted to that side.
Right.
Like, if you're going to talk about me, you're probably going to say, I don't like his work. His work could be better or blah, blah, blah. Like, that's cool. Right. I can take constructive criticism. Easy. So I can deal with those pressures, but I can't be, oh, he one of them boys.
Yeah. Like, do it when you want to do it, or, right. like, giving bad service and things of that nature.
Or
like,
losing shit.
I'm really hung up. So I'm not it's important quality, but I'm really hung up on customer service. So when I inquire with people, I take how they respond to me in the play. I take their work, but how easy they are to get along with or to work with. I can tell by your tone of voice through your words exactly. So if I introduce myself and inquire correctly, I don't want to see a response back, yeah, I can do it at 12. Like, or very, or like, for instance, I was ordering hair from somebody and I inquired and I introduced myself and they're like, where you at? What? Like, so that's a, and to me it comes off like you're not passionate about what you do. It's okay. Just you're doing this just because, or you didn't take the time to even, if you're not that people oriented, right, you didn't take the time to gain those skills as well, because right, you didn't think that it was necessary. You just was like, I'm going to sell my product and that's it. And I feel like the sooner people take the customer service part into play more bigger, your business is going to grow. It's going to be a heist that you right, can't imagine, because word of mouth.
Customer service takes you far.
Word of mouth gets you so much business. Like, marketing, of course.
I do word of mouth. Marketing, but my word of mouth is what keeps me yep, available. That and the different people I work with.
What's and the status? They say it's like one good customer brings you 10, yeah, and then one bad customer, like, brings, like, leaves you like 20. So like you're like losing 20 people, the double right, amount that you would get if you was just good to that one person.
Right, right. And I want to leave people like, I never want to leave someone with a bad taste in their mouth.
Right.
Like, if you say I did something bad, you can't say that that was the end of it. Like, I will, like, if, for example, say we did a photo shoot, you ain't like the pictures. Cool, I'll give you a refund if that's how you feel. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, if you, that's cool. It won't take nothing from me.
Right.
To go that extra step with you. And whatever, because I want to stay true to what I do.
Right. And now you might have this returning customer. So now it's like, okay, I don't like these pictures. And you're going to give me a refund. Well, let's try it again. Versus you saying, oh, well, you don't like it. That's too bad. Now it's just
right,
when somebody asks, oh, who did you work with? I mean, I worked with Johnny, but I didn't really like the pictures too much. And he wasn't too helpful as far as finding a solution. Right. You don't want to have that impact
right,
on somebody. And
see, some people might not respond to that.
Right.
Like, they see, like, say I sent you pictures and you say, you know what? Could you do this instead? Or mm-hmm, do this. Some people will be like, nah, I did what I had to do.
Right.
And
I'm not, done.
And yeah, and then they'll just post on their own or whatever. Me, no, I need to have the blessings of the people I'm working with. Like, I don't like to post pictures, even though as a photographer, you own the rights to the pictures, but I need your blessing. Like, I would text you or DM you, say, yo, is it okay if I post these pictures?
Okay.
And things of that nature. And if you have an issue, let's work it out. I'm gonna write you right back. Like, my line of community, you can text me or call me or whatever at any time of day. I'm gonna respond.
Okay.
As soon as I can. If I don't see it, I'm gonna respond as soon as I can. That's the type of service I want to have, because I want you to have that respect.
And that returning service. So you got exactly, a small group of people who continue to come to you. It's that returning service. So even if you're not getting that new clientele, or you're not able to market yourself as much as you want to, you're still getting them returning exactly, models, because you didn't left your mark with them.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right, guys. So again, I think I already said we're going to wrap it up, but we're really going to wrap it up this time. So anything you want to leave them with?
Stay hungry. Stay passionate. And never handle constructive criticism. Chase your dreams, of course. And always retain your integrity in the work that you do.
And thanks for listening to the YNA series episode 1 with Johnny Rocket.